Welcome back to another episode of the Pathway to Purpose podcast. My name is Sydney Young, and I have the pleasure of being the host of this podcast. I have a really good friend with me today.
Hey.
Yeah, Michael Irish.
Yep.
O'Gary.
O'Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good friends.
Good friends. It is honestly really good to call you friend.
Yeah.
A friend, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, you know, we first met was because through your now fiance was like, oh, hey, my boyfriend is joining the team and stuff. I was like, oh, cool. And we both kind of like, hey. And that was it. And then we end up meeting in the office one day during training and stuff. And we're like, bro, wait. And instantly became friends.
Yes. Yeah. It was awkward for me just because I'm a pretty awkward guy sometimes when I first meet people.
So am I.
And it's like when she told me about you. I was like, okay, there's this guy joining security. All right. Like, I was like, y'all will be friends. Blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but okay. I don't believe it, but right? You know.
It was the same way for me, too. I'm bad at introductions, but afterwards it's like, it's just time to be friends.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself, Michael. What's up?
Who are you? So I'm 28, you know. Been in California my whole life. I'm originally from Sacramento. Been born in the church my entire life. Practically, my mom raised me to, or pretty much dedicated me since she had me. I actually have her Bible that she had when she got pregnant with me.
Oh, wow.
So she gave it to me, so it's kind of like a nice little heirloom. So I've walked with the Lord my whole life, I would say. I did definitely walk away probably around 15 or 16. A lot of bad things were happening. Was involved with a lot of family court stuff again. For custody battles, et cetera, et cetera. And I was serving a church. You know, I was kind of stuck under the religious mindset of that you needed to work for the church and, you know, do things to earn approval and stuff. So I actually worked on the soundboard. I did light boards. I did all, like, the tech production stuff behind the scene for our youth group for, oh, man, too many years, probably 7 or 8. And I just got tired of it and was getting abused by the pastors and leadership, kind of just being treated like subpar, not good. If anything bad happened, it was always my fault for no reason, even though I didn't do anything. Like there's a movie being played that he wanted to be played and it said one word and I got in trouble for it. And it's like, I don't, how's that my fault? You were the one that wanted this movie to play.
Yeah, you asked for this, and you should have known that it was in there.
Yeah. So it was kind of like one of those moments where I was just like, man, I'm just kind of done. And then from there, I was trying to figure out life because high school was coming to an end. And I didn't know really what to do. I was working at 18 as soon as I could because I had all the family court stuff, so I couldn't get a working permit at 16 like I wanted. So I just kind of grinded away at that, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna move out and be on my own. And something happened. I don't even remember really what it was. And I just like, okay, this isn't gonna work out, so it's time to move on from this. And I was like, okay, you know what, I'm actually gonna join the Air Force. And well, I was gonna join the military. I didn't know which branch I was, and I was contemplating a lot of things. And part of it was I wanted to be in the Air Force or the Marines at that point when I was making the decision. The decision was mostly because it was, if I went through the Marines, I could probably be infantry and probably just no longer exist anymore. That was kind of like the point was, but at the same time, I was like, but I would devastate family and, you know, my mom and I are super close. And she's been helping me ever since. Even now, we still talk about stuff and she helps me. But it was at the point, because at 4, I was so depressed and suicidal. I really didn't want to.
At 4?
At 4, yeah.
4 years old?
4 years old. And the way I know this is my grandma was driving me one time and she saw me like staring out the window. I guess I looked really sad and she asked what was going on. And I said, I just wish I could just jump out the car. And
wow.
That kind of started just dealing with that. So joining the military was definitely kind of a suicide mission. That was kind of the goal, which sounds really bad now. But it did lead to a lot of things. It did lead to good structure, good leadership training. I was a second in my flight during that time. I ended up getting a medical discharge because I ended up catching a muscle-eating virus called rhabdomyolysis, and it's automatically disqualifying. And the way I perceived that disqualification was, man, I failed again. Big failure. The Lord's mad at me. I don't want anything to do with the Lord. And I was 20 years old at that time because nothing else had worked out. Going to church didn't work out, and I kind of saw all the people at my church, my youth group, just derail so hard. Like, one dude ended up going to jail for some really serious stuff. One person did almost should have been in jail for very similar things that he did. And I just was like, man, there's no point in any of this. If, you know, if this is church, I don't want a part of it. Oh, wow. So I left, did not look back, and I just was like, you know, I'm just going to have fun. You know, you throw fun in air quotes there, but it's started smoking a lot of weed, got really heavy into that, especially gummies, really the really strong ones where you take one, you're out for about 5 hours, not even conscious of what you're doing, and it felt so nice because I was physically in a lot of pain from the military. And a couple of car accidents where I got rear-ended a few times. And it was a great escape for, you know, the time being. For, like, the first year of doing it, it was a great escape. I just didn't have to exist. And I would drink really heavily, too. I was very heavily struggling with pornography, which stemmed from a lot of things. Seeing it when I was real young. Being treated poorly by some women that I was trying to, like, date, but ended up getting played instead. So I became bitter towards women, which I'm very thankful that's no longer the case. But everything just kind of kept spiraling out of control, and I was like, okay, I don't know what to do. Went to junior college at CRC. Okay. And
so you went to college after
the military. Okay. And one of the reasons why I also joined was I wanted the benefits, and the Air Force had the best benefits at the time.
Absolutely.
I think they still do. I haven't really kept up with anything now from the military. Did that, actually got into audio stuff and podcasting and all that stuff, and then I was like, okay, well, I want to pursue doing this. And I joined an actual university, the University of the Pacific in Stockton, for all this audio stuff, and ended up taking a game design class in Unreal Engine 4. And I met my professors and everything, and actually majored in video game design. Had a complete 180, kind of 180-ish, but I had a complete flip in degrees, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Built video games, learned how they were made. I got to throw in my audio skills in the games, which it was like cloud nine, but that last, I don't know, I think last semester, I was just in class, and I was just sitting here, I was like, do I really want to do this? Is this really me sitting at a desk for over 8 hours every day, grinding away doing menial, very tedious tasks?
Mm-hmm.
Which most of the game stuff is at times. It's, you know, especially I did modeling, so I would build the structures that you would see, and sometimes they look really cool, but behind the scenes, like trying to connect stuff and build it, it's so tedious to make sure it's correct. Like, it's slow changes.
Yeah.
Like, animators get paid really well, but 3 months of work is like a minute and a half of animation. And it sucks.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It sucks. I had a guy I was helping, I would help one of the classes my professor was teaching just because I was more experienced, and he would let me just pop in and give environment building like tips, if you will, because I took environment building very seriously, and I was watching him animate, and he was like, I hate this. And I was like, oh, how much have you done? And he played, and it was 10 seconds. And he says, like, I've been here for 2 weeks. I was like, yeah. Yep.
I remember a story of somebody. They were showing somebody a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, man, I worked on this movie. It was awesome. I'm like, cool. Let's watch it. I'm like, all right. And then they said, which part was yours? And then there was like a flicker of light
mm-hmm.
in the sky. He's like, yeah, that was me.
Yep.
I did that. It took me 9 months, but I did it. Like, good Lord. 9 months for a flicker of light.
Yes.
But there's so many people working on it to make sure that things just look perfect.
And yep.
It takes time.
And then and some of the things that was really keeping me from wanting to really pursue a career in the game world was, or in that type of industry as a whole, was that you could work a year.
Yeah.
Have your contract and everything, work a year, and all of a sudden, snap of the finger, gone. Budget, everything, like canceled.
Just like, hey, we're not doing this.
We're not doing it anymore. Done. And everything was gone. You still get paid, but it's, you know, it's the principle of the matter. You spent however many months, however many hours a week building something, and then it's gone.
Was it more about the art from it? Like, you don't even have anything to show from it because it's
pretty
like,
much.
But you do still get paid, so that's...
That's the nice part, but what's money really worth in the scheme of your 60 hours a week?
That's a whole statement.
And you want to, yeah, and you want to, you know, maybe have a family, or you have a family. It's like, because both my dads worked to the bone.
Yeah.
And you can definitely tell that they weren't happy about that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was kind of like, well, did I want to do that? So, yeah, I finished college, and then I kind of just was trying to figure out life again, and now I'm here in Reading.
That's such an amazing statement just about, like, what do you want out of life?
Yeah.
Like, we look at our parents and other people. Not everyone, but, like, a lot of people just had parents that just worked like crazy. Some of them are just still working.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's like when you're following God, it's like, where is he leading you?
Exactly.
You know, how is he leading you to work that type of life?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so one big question that we always ask people
mm-hmm.
on this podcast is, can you tell us about a time that you said yes to God? Could you do that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, growing up in the church, I've definitely said yes a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit as a teenager, started speaking in tongues. I want to say like 6th, 7th grade.
Let's go.
Which was cool.
That's awesome.
And then ended up walking away from the Lord for a while. But my time, I really had this true yes, and I've still stuck by this yes even now. It was in my college dorm. I want to say it was maybe the year after COVID, so 2021 or something like that, 2022. I was really in a bad spot. I mean, I had my weed in my dorm. I had a bottle of whiskey. I literally just polished, got done. I think I was just fresh from watching porn or something. And I was just sitting and I just felt so devoid of life. And someone asked me, like, how did it feel? And I would always say, I could laugh. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. But at that time, I would laugh. And it'd be a true laugh, like an actual funny moment. But when I would stop laughing, I could feel the void in my heart. Like, the emptiness was so viscerally real that when I was done laughing, I was so manically depressed that I did not want to laugh again. And it happened every time I laughed. And that was probably a couple of years of dealing with that. And that's how... honestly depressed I was so, and it was getting to the point where I could not fake it and hide it anymore. Even my stepmom was like, you're not doing good. Yeah. And I had family like, you're not doing good. I'm like, yeah, I'm really ready to check out.
Yeah.
And I had this moment. It was late at night, maybe 8 p.m and I'm in my dorm and I'm bawling my eyes out and I'm mad at myself, I'm mad at the world. And I just go, Lord, you have to fix this or I check out. And it's, you know, it's funny to think about it now. I gave the God of the universe, creator of everything, an ultimatum. It's like, you're doing this or I'm done. And it's, the Lord's so good. He's like, all right, bet.
And he heard you, yeah.
He did. He actually, it did happen right away. I always give reference because, you know, people will tell the stories. And then the Lord, and it took like about a week or two. But it was because I needed to be obedient to something.
Yeah.
And I think obedience is the biggest part of the yes. I had this overwhelming feeling, and this is how I know that the Lord speaks to me through feelings, like I can feel, that I needed to read Romans. I had this book from the Passion Translation. It was just the Romans chapter or book of the Bible. And so I took it to the cafeteria, big old empty hallway, and it was a Saturday, so there was nobody there, which was nice because I like my quiet time. I like my alone time. Yeah. And I just started reading it, and Romans 8:14 stood out to me, and it was, you know, the Lord has not given you a spirit, and the Passion Translation says as religious duty, but the Lord has not given you a spirit of religious duty, but spirit of adoption, to which we cry, Abba, Father. And it was, I've seen that verse many times, but it was like the light bulb flicked on, and yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't have to perform. I didn't have to anything. And I texted my mom, and I was, and she's crying. I'm crying because she knew how bad things were getting. And she was like, you better not kill yourself, for, because if you do, I'm bringing you back to life, and then I'm going to kill you. And I was like, ugh.
That's such a mother answer, right?
It is. And that's how you know you have a good mom who's also terrifying.
Amen.
So that's what happened. And I think this is around October, November time. So holidays are coming up. I hate holidays. A lot of issues, family and stuff. And my older brother was throwing a Christmas party at his house, and I was like, man, I don't really want to go. But I was like, you know what? Fine, whatever, I'll go. Went, my older brother and my oldest brother were there and all that, and we ended up having a really, really good time. And for like the first time, I was actually seen, I was heard, no one overtalked me and all this thing, and it was really good. And the next day, I was telling my mom, you know, it's like, this is, it was great. And she's like, yeah, you actually, your brother was complimenting you. I know you didn't know, but he was saying that you're such a different person now, and like, you can hold your own and all these different things. And I was like, yeah, I guess it was cool. I guess I shouldn't, you know, have judged so fast. And as I said that, and I started walking away from the kitchen, I literally heard the voice of the Lord go, it's like, now it's time to forgive people.
Wow.
And it was one of the most surreal moments. And I knew it was the voice of the Lord, because one, I wouldn't have done forgiven anyone. And two, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I started crying instantly. Instantaneous feeling. And from there, I was like, okay, this is real. This is real. And so went back to college after Christmas break. I had that last year, so that 2023, January to December, mm-hmm. was it. And was very much after the Lord, but very heavily tormented at the same time. So I would be a nervous wreck. I would panic. I couldn't be around people. But at the same time, I was like, I'm going to start doing all these things different. I started going back to the gym very rigorously. I was going to start training, get back into that. But at the same time, I was like, I was living this really weird part of like, I'm the strong man of God, and at the same time, I'm over here like, oh my goodness, I'm going to collapse.
Yeah.
And I would listen to worship music every night to calm myself so I can go to bed. I would do all these things because I had weed to, you know, bring me down.
Yeah.
But I had, the last time I had weed, after even was late December of that year, I turned everything around. I had such a bad panic attack that I just quit. Cold turkey, quit. Stopped doing any of it. But I had weed as a crutch to help bring anxiety down. And I found a verse in the Bible that I would quote almost every night, and it's Psalms 46:10. It's surrender all anxiety, be still, and know that I am God. I'm God above all things.
It's one of my favorite verses.
Oh, I love that verse. And I had a really cool revelation when I was up here in school for BSSM, was that be still part is quit your striving, quit your working, know that I am God. And I would quote that almost every night because I was so, like, just anxious, And that first semester was very difficult. And then summer and the second semester were fantastic. I was on fire for the Lord. I was watching Bethel Live. I've had cool encounters in my dorm from that. I had a moment where, like, they called out neck pain and, you know, shoulder issues, which, from car accidents and stuff, that was definitely me. Mm-hmm. It felt like hot oil was being poured on my back, and right before that even happened, someone was like, hey, the Lord's pouring hot oil on your back. And as soon as I read that, I felt it.
Wow.
Start crying. Had really cool moments. Had all that. Would try to talk to my friends about the Lord. A lot of heavy resistance, especially, you know, secular university. There were some people that were also Buddhists, you know, all of these different things. So I tried. Didn't really work out, but they all know that I'm very much for the Lord, and I try to tell them, like, hey, it's not what you think it is. Trust me, yeah. I've been in the church. It's not what church makes out to be.
Yeah.
And so finished school, and I'm like, all right, time to start using my degree. And things went so downhill so fast in January of 23. It was, it almost crushed me completely. How bad something happened. I can't really go into full detail about that, but it was a big family issue, big family conflict. Fists were almost thrown, police were almost called, you know, big ordeal. And when it was all said and done, I just was like, Lord, you have to get me out of here. I cannot be here.
Yeah.
And it took, I don't know, I want to say March, late March, early April. I was watching Chris Vallotton.
This was 2023?
Yeah. So beginning of last year, some
gotcha.
Really bad stuff. And I'm pleading with the Lord. It's like, you got to get me out of here. And I literally quit all my game design stuff too at this time because it was so bad. It was just my sole focus was getting out of the house. And I did. I got a job at a gym. I worked the nights. I worked the closing hour. So I would be there at 3 till pretty much 11. I would go and do my workout and then hop on shift and hang out with friends in the in-between gap. And then, you know, I'd close up and be home. And I would not interact with family members at all. It was that bad. So making breakfast one morning, I'm watching Chris Alton talking about something. And he's like, some of you are thinking about BSSM, you know, but, you know, you're having all these doubts and stuff. And some of you are saying, I don't have the money. And you're saying, Lord, give me the money and I'll go. And the Lord's like, no, I'll give you the money. And the moment he said, the Lord says, go and I'll give you the money, it felt like someone just came up and just punched me in the chest.
Wow. Just a reverse of words.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It was like someone just came up and just right there on the chest. Like, what? And I was literally cooking. I didn't want to make sure I burnt my eggs because I hate eating eggs as it is. And I showed it to my mom, and she's like, you should just apply. Wow. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll apply. If it's a yes, I'll go. Well, I applied, got an interview date with Ann Rice, and ended up missing it because I totally forgot about it.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I hate being that type of person that misses things because I'm always early and on time. That's probably the military, you know, if you're not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're not 15 minutes on time, you're late.
You're late, that's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I texted, or I sent an email back to her, and I was like, hey, I'm very sorry. Is there a way we can reschedule it? I really, you know, I fell on my sword very quickly. And she goes, you know, thank you very much for apologizing because not many people do.
Mm-hmm.
Which that kind of blew my mind. But I guess that's a topic for something else. So we did, and we had this interview. She prayed for me. I started crying. She gave me some word. Don't remember what it was. This was before I learned to start writing everything down.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I got accepted into BSSM. I said yes, but I was very much like, okay, Lord, if this is a yes, I have a checklist type of thing. And I brought almost anything and everything I could think about to the Lord, so I did not have to go, which is very weirdly ironic because I was like, Lord, get me out of this place.
Yeah.
Here's my ticket out. And I'm like, let's fight about this. And I mean, you name it, housing, found it, found a great place. Still there. Love my landlords. Amazing people. Job. Well, I had a job before I even moved to Reading. I got a job.
Let's go.
It ended up working out anyways, but got a job here still regardless. Trying to pay off, you know, the tuition. Well, my old youth pastor and I, who reconciled and are now really good friends, he gave me $1,000 to come to BSSM.
And wow.
You know it's the Lord when a bank that lost your money during the COVID scam thing for unemployment messages you saying, hey, we found the remaining part of your money, and here's an additional like $200 for compensating your losses. You know that's the Lord when a bank is willing to give you money.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, every excuse in the book that I had, the Lord was like, no, I got that covered. And he did it so perfectly. And I finally was just like, all right. And it was about July when I did this. It's like, all right, Lord, you win. You win. I'm going to BSSM. And I said yes to that. And that's kind of where it all started, was just saying yes, but even though I fought a little bit, just because that's kind of my nature, is to fight.
Yeah.
Which, not the best idea. But I said yes, and I'm very glad that I said yes to all of this.
Wow. Wow. So, for those who don't know, BSSM stands for Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Yes.
It is a school that is ran by Bethel Church here in Redding, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it has produced some amazing people.
Yep.
It has changed lives. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out exactly where to go, because mm-hmm. I know, even with the changing lives part, I know that I have a specific question for you. I kind of want to go back a little bit to two things real quick, if you don't mind. The first one is, in that space of God telling you that you had to forgive people, it's kind of a two-part question for this one, but was it you have to forgive them and there was an act behind it to them, or was it just a forgiveness in your heart? And if it was to them, how was it received?
Kind of both. There are some people I have no contact with
whatsoever
anymore. And for the ones that I did forgive, it was mostly like I changed my attitude towards them.
Mm.
And I tried to see them a little bit differently. And that really does help, especially when you're dealing with like something traumatic and abusive since you were a kid.
Yeah.
It opens your eyes. It's like, oh, they're being this way because someone was this way towards them, and this is how they protect themselves, and this is how they lash out.
Wow.
And it opened my eyes to a more compassionate thought of, well, they're acting this way because someone did what they did to you. So you can either do what they're doing, or you can act like the Father would and just try to at least be a little bit loving and compassionate. It's not even you have to be a whole lot. It's just a little bit. And that's what I started to do, and eventually that started to change things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where there are some people where I am still very slow to... That, I would say.
You can forgive, but you still have to protect yourself. It's okay to put up boundaries.
Yes, absolutely. Boundaries are very important. Am I cutting them off cold turkey? No.
Mm-hmm.
Am I still like, hey, this is unhealthy. I'm going to remove myself from this. Love you, bye. Yes, absolutely. But I think ultimately is forgiveness. And I think it's because the scripture even says that the Lord will turn you over to the tormentors if you have unforgiveness.
Come on now.
Which... is weird to think about that you're being churned over to the tormentors in the first place, but it's actually more of you're actually really churning yourself over to the tormentors, and the Lord's just like, sucks to suck, but you're the one that put yourself in that shoes, so He's allowing it to happen.
A lot of times when you need to forgive somebody, the other person is not going to be affected at all.
No, it's you.
It's for you.
Yeah, and that's probably the best part about forgiveness is that it's. Yeah, there are some people that have done some heinous things, and it's very hard to forgive that, but that's not forgiveness. It's not for them. It's for you.
Yeah.
And most people don't understand that.
That's good. The other question that I have is, when you're telling people about Jesus, like your friends, how did you do that? And I'll be honest, like, personally, I've found recently, like, wow, Sydney, you have a really hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you talk about Jesus a lot. Like, your friends know that you are a Christian, like there's no doubt about it, but you've been friends with people for years and you've never asked them if they know Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you get over that hurdle?
Biggest thing for me is because I've had friends that I've either played video games with or known for 10 years, and they've seen the old me and they've seen the new me now. And the new me now just says, hey, it's not what you think the church has really brought it out to be. The Lord is actually one of the biggest love things ever. He loves you because He loves you. And I try to show, I don't sell pitch anyone. I just say, the Lord loves you. And how do you explain that? Man, that's very difficult how to explain how someone that's completely invisible, that knows you better than yourself, loves you completely. Yeah. So I try to also be like, this is what the Lord did to me. If you remember me being cold and bitter and full of ice, that's His love changing me. It's not His religious act of going to church and tithing and all that stuff, it's his love is changing me, and it's still changing me now, but it's all about his love and grace. And so I don't try to like preach that. I'd always go with, hey, the Lord loves you. The Lord sees what you're going through, and he does not make you, or does not think any less of you because you're going through that. The Bible, the scripture is very clear, come as you are. And that's why I told one friend at my old job, when I was working the nights at the gym, her and I were very similar, kind of cut from the same grass. We've been through a lot. And I could always tell when she would get very nervous because she fidgets. And I would just always say, the Lord just loves you. Not because of anything that you're doing, but because he loves you, because he loves you. And he says, come as you are.
That's good.
And that's what I would use as my, like, start, was the Lord loves you. And this is what scripture says, is that you're more valuable than a coin.
Wow.
That, like, the silver coin where the woman finds the one coin out of the nine that she has. She wanted that one more. You're that one, and the Lord wants you. You're that one sheep, and the Lord wants you. And that's how I always just focus it on love and grace. That's how I feel like.
That's so good. So you came to BSSM.
Mm-hmm.
You are currently in your first year.
Yep, almost done.
How does it feel?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
It's pretty good.
You had an encounter a couple months. Was it like a couple months into it that you had an encounter?
I've had a few encounters. Are you talking about the one?
With that beautiful woman. Her name is Ashton. Amazing woman. She's just so beautiful and has a very loving spirit.
That yes,
is my fiance.
The one at JH Ranch, which is so funny because I met Ashton before I met you.
You did
at JH Ranch, but yes, I've had.
What was the night? What were y'all there for?
So JH Ranch was like just this retreat where you can just get away, cell service except for like a couple of spots, but you can just get away and spend some time out in nature with the Lord, sleeping chicken coops. Not little chicken coops, but they're small little shacks, and they're...
Sounds amazing.
Very uncomfortable. But it was great. But I had been to these ranches and retreats and stuff before my old youth group, and I got up there, and I was like, man, I don't want to be here. This place is going to suck. The food is going to be garbage. Surprisingly, it was not. And all these different things. And so I had gone to one booth, and it was like mindful of prophetic words, and I had it recorded, but it was really cool. At the time, I was sitting there, I'm like, man, you're dumb. She gave me this word, and I was like, man, you are so off. And then all of a sudden, she said one thing. I was like, oh my goodness, you're amazing. And she's like, the Lord's going to start revealing himself through nature. And I was like, yep, here he does that. I love looking at nature and seeing creation through his eyes. And she goes, the reason why I thought she was dumb was she's like, you have a pastoral grace gift. And I was like, what? No, because at the time I didn't know the pastoral grace gift was actually like a shepherd. I thought it was meant like to be a pastor on stage.
Yeah,
I was like, heck no, no, you'll never see me on stage, pastor. And and once I figured it out, I was like, oh, she's actually brilliant. But I was in line for, I think it was for mirror ministry, where you look into a mirror, which I don't know why on earth I was in line for that one. I hate looking in the mirror most of the time, but Lord's funny like that. So I'm in line. And this is a long line, too, for whatever this thing was. And I am probably, like, the second to next to go, right? So I'm about ready to go. And your fiance and her friend come up to me, and they're like, hey, we do prophetic poetry. And I'm like, and I look like I am angrier than a skunk. I don't know. I look pissed off. And I think I was wearing all black almost. And I was...
They went up to the most uninviting person.
Yes. And I was like, my hands were crossed, and I was stank faced, pissed off that I'm at this retreat. I had already talked to one person, gave a little bit of my story, started crying, and Lord loves to make me cry because he knows I hate crying. And I was like, man, nothing's gonna happen here, and this is gonna be a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Ashton comes by, she's like, I do prophetic poetry. And they read it, and I actually still have it into my, I keep it in my wallet, but it was, rest in me, rest in the palm of my hand, drink up the river of peace. And for whatever reason at that time, it just undid all my rage in a blink of an eye, because I have been, like, I work really hard naturally, and I just go. I'm just a go, go, go person at times. And when I would always say, Lord, I just need a break. I just need something. And when she said that, it broke something. And I dropped my guard. And I think the biggest thing too is, you know, we have a guard that we need to drop before the Lord can do his thing. Not that he needs you to drop his guard, but he wants you to drop his guard.
Yeah.
And she just, I don't know, she just tapped into the prophetic and she read my ledger completely. She, I mean, called out everything. She's like, did you make a pact with death? Did you agree to be silent? Did you, like, all these things. And yes, I made a pact with death because I was so suicidal. Yes, I was silent because I was told to be silent. And then I told myself to be silent, which is one of the things I'm learning about right now of memory coming up.
Wow.
And all these things. And she, I mean, at the time, and she just, I don't even remember what she said. She said one thing, and all of a sudden, I'm on the ground, on my knees, bawling, heaving, looking like I was getting delivered from something. But I was just sobbing, and it probably like 20 minutes of just her breaking off curses that I had spoken over myself. Other people had that spoke over me, and I agreed with it. Because that's one thing. If someone speaks a curse over you, yeah, you have the power to like flush that thing down the toilet.
That's right.
Or you agree with it.
Come on.
So there's a power of a yes to that as well.
Yeah.
And man, after that, my eyes hurt so bad, crying for like 20 minutes. And man, went, got food, went to the tent, had a big old worship service thing, and I'm sitting there like kind of almost in a panic attack, but not panicky, but like, what just happened? Someone read my entire ledger, and I don't tell people things. I'm very private and personal.
Yeah.
And she did. And the next day at JH, my RGP, my revival group pastor, was like, okay, we're going to have this moment where it's just us. And here's where I'm going to challenge you to do. And as he goes, it's going to be very difficult for some of you and extremely difficult for others. Mm. There was no easy one. He said it was not going to be easy. And he was right. But we blew up a balloon and we wrote lies on them. Lies that we believed on about ourselves. And my balloon was almost covered in lies. And we had to go and speak them in front of everyone.
Wow.
And then pop them.
Wow.
I popped mine, and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord hit me, and I could not stop laughing, which rarely ever happens. And that was one encounter that I've had with the Lord. Just being here alone. That was the first month and a half, two months of school.
That is amazing. I look back at Ash because she's here in the room, bless her heart. Because that specific act that you did, like there's certain things that people feel like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just the act. Like you're not, blah, 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 blah. I did that.
Yep.
Gosh, I don't even know how much I've said on this podcast, but my stepfather was a very, in my past, we just had a very, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
It was rough. I'll definitely go into it on a different pod. But one of the things that my sister had me do was write down all the lies, like all the names that he mm-hmm. called me. And I didn't realize how impactful that was. And at first, so I wrote them down. As I was writing, it was so hard. I was like, I know he's called me some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I remember the things that he's called me? And then I started writing down things and just kept going.
Yeah.
And it was like curse words and all these different things, things that I would never amount to. And she had me put them on the altar and it stayed there for like a week because we had an altar in our house. And then we burned it.
Very nice.
It's like, it's not staying and it's over. And the release that you have from that, right? It's mostly something for you,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely in the spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't believe that there's a spirit realm, but there definitely is. There are things that are being broken
absolutely.
In the spirit when you do things like that. And you're showing Satan that you don't have any sting.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that you can do with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll attack other stuff, but I want you to know that this here, that's over. So yeah. I love that they did that. I like the writing it on the
balloon.
On a balloon thing.
That's yeah, to nice. Pop it. And everyone had their own way of popping it, too. Like, some people jumped on it. Some people, like, pushed their hands together to pop it. I literally ripped mine apart like I had, like, was, like, ripping, like, cloth or something. I don't know. I had that picture in my head. Like, I needed to rip my giant's head off, and I had it in my hand, one hand, and my other hand, and I pulled it apart and, you know, something. But it's the prophetic act of obedience to, and I think it's in 2 Kings or 2 Samuel. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's Elisha was greeted with some high noble dude who had leprosy, and he's just like, hey, go dunk yourself in this river.
Mm.
And it's a filthy river. It's not a clean river. And he's, you know, got all pissed off about it. He's like, well, why do I have to do this? And the servant was like, well, what do you have to lose? Just go do it. And the simple act of obedience to go dunk yourself seven times in dirty water cured him of leprosy. And I think that's kind of like the point is, like, the Lord can do it any way he chose, but there's a specific reason why he said this way.
Do it that way.
Yeah. Just you don't see it right away either, too.
That is part. Good.
Yeah.
That is really good. I love that. So, yeah, she from that day, yep. Ash came home. There was some type of impactful moment, obviously, there. We just heard it. And she just felt like, she's like, wow, I feel like y'all would be great friends. Like, he's joining, well, both of us are on the security team at our church.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, you can meet him because he's starting at the same time. And I like friends. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love friends.
But introductions suck.
Yeah, introductions just suck. It's like, I'm like, it's more weird because you are telling me that we're going to be friends. Like,
right?
It's different if it happens naturally.
Yeah.
But now I know that I have, like, this thing over my head. And I remember seeing you. It wasn't my first day as a visitor of BSSM. It was whenever David Hogan
was it David was Hogan? There. Yeah, yep. That's right.
That was the first time that I met you. And it was mm-hmm. just like, shook hands.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, very, very normal male interaction. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
All right, cool.
And, that's okay. To the ladies out there, guys do it different.
Very different.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And now, as you can see, me and Mike are here having a great conversation.
Absolutely. Like, guys interact by simple head nods.
Yes.
Up is one meeting, and down, head nod down is another meeting.
Something completely different.
Exactly. It's just, that's how simple we are.
Man, it is honestly to the point where I could sit here and say, I love you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love you, too.
That's a barrier broken too, right? Because mm-hmm. there's so many guys that won't express love for other people, for other guys. But I really believe in attacking that space as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different types of love, and
yeah.
it's to the point where, like, if anybody messes with you, let me know, I'm coming.
That's right.
Like, and absolutely. If Satan's there, like, I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Man, this has been so good. So what's gosh, you said so much great stuff. Like, I'm over here taking notes just because how great it is. Your story is amazing.
Thank you.
I really pray that a lot of people are like listen to it and they're like, wow, that guy's like me,
mm-hmm.
and he's in the place that he is with God. I want to be there.
Yeah.
And to hear that it's possible, the Bible says that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy,
mm-hmm.
meaning that when we release our stories and other people hear it, it's a prophecy to that person.
Yep.
That it can happen for them too.
Yeah.
And there is I definitely believe that there is a specific person that it is just I believe that there are multiple people that the words that came out of your mouth is just speaking to them, and their lives are shifting. In this moment.
Absolutely.
Very beautiful.
I would definitely say too that you are never too far gone for the Lord. His reach is so infinite. Yeah. I know we like to think like, oh, I can't be used. Yeah, you'd be surprised. You would be so surprised how the Lord can use you. He loves it when you come as you are.
Come on now.
Just come as you are. And it's like, who did Jesus hang out with the most in the Bible? It was not the Pharisees.
That's
a spoiler
right
there. It was not the Pharisees. So just think about that.
Amen.
Who did Jesus hang out with the most?
So what is next for Irish?
Next. Well, I had a really cool encounter like two Sundays ago. It's not really an encounter, more of a prophetic word, but it was I'm big. Ever since I came back with the Lord, I've been very big on health and fitness. Starting my own personal training stuff, and I would love to have my own gym and stuff like that. So that's kind of where my direction is going. I don't even remember who it was, but he was a guest from Brazil. He's sitting in the front row as one of the special visitors, peoples, whatever. And he was praying for me, and he goes like, yeah, the Lord sees what's in your heart, and he gives you like a green check mark. And when he said that, I was instantly thinking of my personal training test, and I was like, because I've been trying to fight if I should take it or not, and you know. So gonna be taking that, seeing if I pass on the first try or not. But yeah, my heart's towards that world, because I'm a fan of like the bodybuilding sport, but I also know how broken And I know that has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not unaware of that. And my heart is more of, can we help this industry that really looks like it's not really being touched at all?
What type of issues?
Oh, there's a ton of issues. Self-idolatry, body dysmorphia issues, definitely on those fronts. But it really comes from a stem of being broken.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I can feel in the spirit. But I've been to like a couple of shows, and sometimes when I've walked in, I can feel people's like self-consciousness. They're, you know, something like,
you're a filler.
Yeah, you can feel people's like, oh, I don't look that good, or ooh, I need to make myself look this certain way because, you know, they were probably harassed or something when they were kids about how they looked, you know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the sport, you know, and like lifting weights and showing that. It's the self-idolatry, the like, look at me, I'm so good and all this stuff. I would say you need to take it to the Lord and say, look what the Lord's body can do and having a strong temple. Because I think, especially with how the American diet is
horrible.
And we, you know, the funny thing about BSSM is that you have a lot of international people that come in here and they're like, what is wrong with y'all's food?
They hate our food so much.
Man, you are so surprised. I'm not. But it's one of those things where I think taking one part of being a triune being, you know, body, soul, and spirit is taking care of the temple of the Lord. And a strong mind helps with a strong body. And my other part of that too is like, I'm very passionate. Like when I have my own family, I want to be that dad that's very involved, being able to play with his kids and not be sore or tired or whatever. So I, you know, go to the gym, I'll squat 315 just for laughs, and then I'll go and I'll go about my day. Like I'll work, go to school and everything. And I think that's my other part of it, is being able to use health and fitness too to help build a strong family and also preserve not just a strong masculine role but strong feminine role, because I do think that's both important for the husband and wife to be strong together. So that's kind of my goal, is health and fitness and trying to use it for the Lord. But yeah, and would like to make my own gym and like a Christian workout apparel thing, or doesn't even have to be for workouts, just be like a daily thing. But
that's awesome.
And then good supplements too. I want to get into like the supplement game, but I want to get the supplements where they're good, because this is the craziest part. FDA has zero regulations on supplements, pre-workouts,
protein. I didn't know that.
Yes, they have zero regulation on them whatsoever. So you like, you can go to the whatever shop for your protein or whatever, and depending on which one you're getting, could be full of so much junk you wouldn't even know it unless you read the label and actually know what all that stuff does. Biggest tip though is the less words, the better.
The less words, the better.
Yes, on the ingredients list.
Yeah.
But I want to get into that game and actually have like good, wholesome stuff that's not full of junk. But
that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Taking a sector of the world
for the kingdom
and make it for the kingdom. That
absolutely
is so good. And there's so many different, like, people have different passions.
Yes.
And I've never been a big workout guy. No. So it's never that specific area has never been on my mind of like, hey, attack there. But God uses certain people.
Yeah.
In areas where they are gifted.
Yeah. There's a quote, I can't remember who said it, but I know Bill and Chris say it a lot. It's, the Lord makes an assignment before he makes the person to fulfill that assignment. So you're basically, when you're born, your assignment's wrapped around you.
Come on.
Because it was already made for you before you were made, which is kind of weird to think about, because the Lord lives in eternity where we're just on a timeline from start to end.
That is so good.
Right?
That is so good, because that's definitely a statement. And I've said it before, but if you feel like you are created for nothing,
you're so wrong. I'm
you're
sorry.
So wrong.
Very wrong.
You have a purpose.
Yes.
Like it before you were born.
Yeah.
Like you just said.
Jeremiah 1 literally says, before you were born, I knew you. So how could you say you are not good enough for this assignment I have for you? Before you were born, I knew you. And that new is not like, oh, hey, what's up, bud? No, it's like, I have a deep, intimate, personal connection with you before you were born.
Like the go, and then I'll give you money.
Exactly. The go, and I'll give it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Put your foot in the water, and then the stream will stop.
Exactly.
That is so good.
Yeah. Jesus was on the boat before he calmed the storm.
Come on now.
That's the craziest part, right?
Shata.
He didn't even like, oh man, it looks a little bit cloudy, you guys. Let's flip back around. You know, it's just like, hey, you guys wake me up. Oh, be still. Boom, done. Just
sleep on the boat.
Exactly.
Have that type of feeling. Just be sleep on the boat. That's crazy. Man, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
You're actually, since we started back, you are the very first person that I have recorded with.
Really?
You are. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Man, it's big. Really big. Thank you for, one, just saying yes to being here. It is amazing. Thank you for, they don't sponsor me yet, but Organic Yerba Mate, you brought me some delicious tea.
Yeah, Bluephoria.
And I'm not a big tea person. And this is the second one that you've gotten me, and it's really good.
Caffeinated tea doesn't give you a crash or anything, but it's some good stuff, and it's
really good.
It's all around good for you.
Yeah.
So.
I love, I love free stuff.
Who doesn't?
Free stuff is very nice. Yeah. So thank you for that. And I love good free stuff. you know, the Satan actually tried to get me to not do this today.
No, really?
Because I was sick. Like laying down, like throat hurting.
Oh.
And I'm like, man, should I cancel? Mm-hmm. And just like so much prayer over me. Mm-hmm. Ash prayed for me. And I'm like, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going. I'm not missing it. So, and I'm really glad that I didn't.
That's awesome. So, thank I'm you glad.
Man. Last thing I want to add is that, man, this guy's single. So, women of God out there, this is a very single man. If you like a beautiful man, is that good-looking man? I don't know. I'm sorry. Something. I don't compliment men. But hey, he is right and ripe for a beautiful woman out there. And hey, she may be listening to this podcast.
Glory.
And I'd love to be at that wedding.
That'd be awesome.
You know who does it a lot? Yeah. Chris Valentin.
Exactly. We're all the leaders are rubbing off on us.
Yeah, they are. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, and I every time that I hear it, I was like, I'd never do that to anybody.
Right.
But I like you, and I, you know, hey, amazing man.
Appreciate it.
He is not single for no reason. He is single waiting on that one woman.
Yeah, just one.
Hey.
One, was it Chris? I'm a one woman guy.
I don't know if I've heard that.
I think that's how he says it. I maybe botched it. But.
Dang.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to the people of the Pathway to Purpose podcast?
Biggest thing I would say is that the Lord is going to handle it all. He's got it. He's got it taken care of. Don't fret.
Amen. Can you read that card one more time for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got chills through my body when you read the first time. I had never heard it.
Yeah. Rest in me. Rest in the palm of my hand. Drink up the river of peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you guys.
Have a great day.